Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Amen. Oh, Vitula, Mamelan Bazarana Kutum Dazaka, Ubongena, Noma, no mea quali, Wonga, I put one. You know what? I get. Zipizanta, Betuna, Zipizanta, I'm thanking. Brother Chokozani, that was the most adorable moment. Tata, good morning to you, Betunana, on a Sunday morning. How do you do?
Jolly good. Thank you so much, Ayanda, and good morning to the listeners of Radio Pulpit. Thank you very much.
Amen, Tata. I just want to share this with you. So our brother is busy praying on air, and you can tell the brother's been up the whole night. Ubizuya zamla betunana, Tata, to kauba encourage, and Goku brother Phil is laughing. You know, they're expressing their faith in the condition that they are in. And so I'm really, really excited with Dada today because, you know, our conversation always focuses on encouraging Odada, you know, affirming them. I think the I don't want to call it a ministry, but just the vocation of affirming Odada, you know, I'm glad that it's starting to take the center stage, but for a very long time, we saw a lot of negative, you know, ministry towards Odada, rebuking them and all of that, demeaning them, annihilating them, and all of that. And so it's encouraging for me that, you know, even Brother Thokozani listening right now is going to be affirmed, you know, that no more Yozela. Last week we were talking about challenging the fathers of the house to understand their role as mentors, to understand their role as disciples of their household, and making sure that they are honing the gifts in their children. Let's take it from there, Dada. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayanda. Let me start off by saying that, you know, depending on the nature of the gift of the of a particular child, you will find, for instance, in your sport, that they'll probably tell you that you know, you got to start as early as possible, maybe 3 years, 4 years old, because most of the sport you play them, you start to be professional in your early 20s. By your early 30s, your career is over. So we cannot wait until you afford it to discover that you can be a World Cup winning soccer player. We've got to start developing. When you listen to people like Tiger Woods in sport, for example, that probably by the age of one, he was already being taught somehow to hold a golf. So you start early. But for the general population, you and me, you discover that a lot of the careers start to produce fruit in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, right? That is not so much because the other period was wasted. It is because it takes that long. So, for instance, a rat can reproduce in a shorter period of time, an elephant in a longer period of time. So most careers, the mentorship and crafting of a person, the formation of that person, takes longer for it to flower. Not because they're doing anything wrong, it's the nature of the activity. So we're going to come back to also your questions very quickly. But I want to start with a just a small verse to base what we're going to say today on this verse. So my statement is this: a true gift is realized not when we announce that we have it, but in demonstration. A man and his sons, all of them, must live on the basis of demonstration, not excessive talking. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 says this. This is Paul talking. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Wow.
Okay? So the word that must be underlined here is the word demonstration. Our sons must be people who demonstrate purpose and gifting. A gift must be seen at work, not in history lessons, not in always telling us that you have it and how you got it. You know, there are people who will tell you that they have a gift of prophecy, that they got it when Nicholas Bengu laid his hands on them. But we never see the actual effectiveness of this prophecy. We don't see the prophetic gift in them actually in operation ever. Into the lower parallel and you know, or whoever it was who prayed for you. So there must be demonstration. So 1 Corinthians 2:4 says in the Amplified this time, and my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, that is, enticing and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and power, a proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them. So, a well-mentored young man must be seen by his fruits and productivity and by his vision and focus. A well-trained young man is not neglectful nor is he talkative. So, let's then come to the questions you've asked me. So, a gift is not necessarily just discovered in talking. So whether you are the child or the parent, you are not going to just discover the gift in talking in a casual chat over coffee or stuff like that per se. If you are going to discover that you are a good singer, a good musician, there must be times, a lot of times, that we see you singing and we see you improving, we see you growing. We see that you are actually above average in your gift. Okay? It can't be that we have never heard you singing, but you keep telling us that when you have an amazing gift of singing. So I will give you an illustration of this. I have a younger cousin of mine that I was asked to mentor and give direction to. And unfortunately, he comes to me at the end of the year after he's passed matric, and he was going to go to Germany to go and study. So I had just a few days to talk to him and before he left for Germany. And then he went there and made a mess of it and came back. And then in our discussions when he's coming back, after he came back, he was now telling me that he actually his gift is in music. So I asked him, Munir, how did you discover this gift? No, I used to take classes. Music classes, and one day I played and my teacher cried. My music teacher actually cried when I played music. So the big problem is that it was not inquired as to whether this teacher is crying because of the hopelessness of the situation.
My dad.
Or because the talent was just mind-boggling. So I said to him, Daniel, that's fine, but we're going to get to the bottom of this. So I contacted TUT, Tswane University of Technology. They've got music there. And got the application forms, this, that, and that. When I looked at the application forms, it is one of the most comprehensive application forms you can actually get. They don't want to admit anybody by mistake. So they put you through a lot of testing. Needless to say, my cousin didn't make it.
He did.
So there's a lot of time that a person can watch movies and watch music videos or watch things on TV or on YouTube or on the internet or whatever, and you know, I think I can do that. But it is in the testing that both you and the parent are going to discover whether this actual gift is there or not there, or is not enough, right? So I don't believe in things that are not tested. So that's the first thing. So you must not mislead yourself, and the parent must not mislead you. So the, and the, one of the ways of eliminating that is through testing. You will see that even if we use sport, even in any field for that matter, there are talent scouts, there are trials. You are sent to trials to go and trial. If you want to play for Kaizer Chiefs, you are invited for trials. They test your basic skills, test this, test that, test that, test that. If you pass those basic tests, then they bring you to the training sessions and what have you. And if you perform well in training, you still have a chance that you can eventually make it to the team. But my point is that we only discover the true talent of the person, the true gifting of the person, when there is a chance to test it in practice and then apply training and teaching to see if there is improvement. Because the person who is gifted in a given area, even their rate of growth and development is much faster.
It's above average. It is above average. Dada, can I just throw in a quick bone? What is the testing for the person that's supposed to mentor and hone that gift? And I mean, I want to take it as far, as petty as it may sound, as far as, what is the actual litmus test for fatherhood? What is the actual litmus test that a man, a grown man, is now ready, you know, to start mentoring others, and at the beginning of that process, just ready to be a father? Because I do think that sometimes the gift itself and the one that has the gift is not always the issue, more than it is perhaps the brokenness of the one that's supposed to be mentoring them. There are instances like that. If you could comment on that, please.
So we have discussed this before, but if you are going to be the father or the mentor, you yourself must have something to offer. Okay? For instance, it's a coincidence, but the questions that you asked in the message that you sent me, because you sent me a message asking questions mm-hmm. about this mentorship, it so happened that this week and even yesterday, I was sitting reading a book, mm-hmm. right? And this book talks about that you cannot really make it, and in this context of business, but mm-hmm. you are not going to be the richest man in town if you don't know your exact gift and operate in the context of your gift. So now, in this case, I am the one teaching about mentorship, but it can happen that in the past 20 years I have not even read a book that comes anywhere close to mentorship that can help me in any way to mentor anybody.
Sure.
So you cannot mentor from the platform of ignorance. That's the first thing. So you must, as a mentor, try to be gathering information about human development as much as is possible, all the time and continuously, so that when the demand is put upon you, you have something to offer. Number two, a lot of us, we think that you become wise and you become an elder and a mentor because of age. That age is enough. If 50 years has passed, you know, now I'm an elder, I have wisdom. But it doesn't say in this wisdom, in these 50 years, what have you done to prepare yourself to become a mentor? What mentorship have you, and training and education have you set under to become this thing? As an example, when I read these books that I'm reading, then I'm surprised actually that these teachings of these are just ordinary secular guys writing their own books about management and entrepreneurship and business. But I discovered that their teaching coincides with what Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, used to teach us. It coincided with the teachings of guys like Rick Warren, and it actually coincides with the teaching of Christ, right? That, you know, Christ chose disciples, you know. He chose disciples, and each disciple, by the way, had a purpose, including Judas. Each disciple had a purpose, and they fulfilled their purpose, and let alone that Judas went to hell into perdition and all that. But it was his purpose. He went there. You hear, I think it was Nathaniel, when he looked at Nathaniel, he said, this man has no guard in him. There's no dishonesty or duplicity. So because the whole process of discipleship is a mentorship process. But when you look earlier in Christ, the mentor, at the age of 12, he was already teaching the elders.
Sure.
Cannot think that out of the blue, because now you've turned 40, you are now ready to mentor anyone that can come. Meantime, in the past 40 years, you've done nothing that prepared you to be a mentor. Let alone brokenness. We're just now talking about incompetence. We're not even talking about whether you are emotionally unstable or whatever, or you are an alcoholic. We're just talking about
just
incompetence. Basically, you cannot do the job.
Yeah, no, Dada, we are absolutely grateful for today's supplement. I do think that, you know, every time we reflect on these matters, and especially the fact that we are so our ears are attuned to mentorship, and I think very seldom do we understand that the process of mentorship is in actual fact our responsibility, you know, according to the word of God, of discipleship. And so a lot of people, we run, you know, to technical mentorship, and we shun away from being discipled, and yet those two processes are pieces of the same pod, perhaps using different contents and pillars, but really peas of the same pod. And so I'm grateful this morning, Dada, for the insights. We'll then continue the conversation and the ministry next week. Have yourself a really blessed week, Dada. Thank you so much. Dada Sandile Swana this morning, my family, it's a minute after 7. We're crossing over now to church with Kathy Van Onselen on Radio Pulpit, and continued sounds of worship on Radio Pulpit Jikelele. This is where we leave it for this Sunday. Well, let's meet again tomorrow morning between 4 and 5:30. We love you. The Lord really bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you his peace, which surpasses all human understanding, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.